Welcome to the Red Zone.
Good morning, everybody. It is 6 o'clock on a Friday morning, which means one thing here at CKCU, but not for too much longer. Means it's time for the Red Zone. We didn't have the new theme song to give to people this morning. The person in which we trusted to make that does not have it ready, most likely until next week. That's okay.
So you're leaving and you're making a new thing. That's interesting. Anyway, by the way, we narrowly avoided a tragedy this morning.
What tragedy is that?
Well, you almost forgot your tea.
Well, I forgot it out in the car. There are certain things that you don't realize you're doing at 5 a.m. until after you've done them. And
I'm not sure you could do the show without your tea. But we have a heavy show today. We got a lot of football fans out there. Got a lot of NFL fans out there. And this is your one-stop shop for everything NFL in the next 60 minutes. And we have so much stuff. We couldn't handle the load on our own. We had to call in reinforcements.
That's right. We brought back one of the original players of the Red Zone. If anybody's a longtime fan, they'll know Mr. Jordan Chevalier, who joins us on the show this morning. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
How does it feel to make the 5 a.m. wake-up call?
Like I said, it was when my alarm went off, I was a little confused. I didn't really know what was going on, but
he wasn't too sure.
Yeah, I was like, what?
But we brought him on. He was, for anybody that doesn't know, he was one of the original.
For anyone who doesn't know, come on, Alex.
That's true. What am I saying? Everybody's up to date on that stuff. We brought him aboard. He's a big football guy and knows a lot about it, so he serves as one of our NFL insiders, if you will. So we got... ton of football to get to.
He's going
to
give Glazer a run for his money, right?
I sure am.
We've got more than enough stuff to get to this morning. And the way we want to try and break this down is there are 32 teams in the NFL.
You've got contenders and you've got pretenders.
And no offense to some of those pretenders.
If your team's a pretender, you're not going to hear about him here.
You're probably not going to hear too much talk about how the Cleveland Browns are going to do this year. Nonetheless, we're going to start in the AFC East, which I would say is a division that people tend to migrate to here in Canada, whether it's for the Buffalo Bills or the New York Jets, something that's geographically closest to us that a lot of people can grasp as a favorite NFL team. New England Patriots have obviously been very pertinent for the last 10 years or so.
The game's in Toronto, too, with Buffalo.
And the game in Toronto, that's well. The Bills and Buffalo.
Really, the lack of ticket sales wouldn't indicate that.
And we're going to talk about that later on the show here, but we're going to start first up. We could talk about Buffalo, depending on if you guys want to, but I say we start in New York with the Jets and what they're going to do this year. I mean, we have heard so much talk from Rex Ryan over the years. Anybody who listens to this show with any type of regularity knows that I'm not a fan of the man because of how much he just yaps on and on. But he said he's sick of hearing the New York Jets be referred to as a sideshow.
Well, he's the one that turned him into it.
Regardless of that fact. I don't know if he's smart enough to realize that. But they brought in Tim Tebow in the offseason.
Which, of course, if you don't want a sideshow, why, you know what I mean?
Why bring in Tim Tebow then?
The most media ready name and the, you know, the focus
mediagenic name,
you know,
so that's my question. This is where we start. Mark Sanchez has shown flashes of being a good quarterback so far in his career.
Not last year.
And he's been wildly inconsistent for large portions of his career.
Look, they have mishandled Mark Sanchez from day one. Because when they brought him in as a rookie, remember he had the whole check chart with the stoplights and green means go, and they had him doing all this crap and checking down. He has never grown into a quarterback. He does not have the mental toughness to be an NFL quarterback. And then you bring in a guy like Tim Tebow, who you know the minute that Sanchez struggles, and he will, he's going to hear footsteps. This is a move that benefits nobody because it stunts Sanchez's growth and it stunts Tebow's growth. They're going to walk all over each other all season long. 6-10 for the Jets, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they won't make the playoffs. There's no chance. Because I don't think that Tebow is ready enough to, you know, to come in 3 or 4 games into the season, right? And he showed flashes of it last year, but not in New York. I don't think they have the weapons there. I just don't think. I think that whole QB, they're going to mishandle both of them, and neither of them, you know, and they might keep Tebow after the year, but they won't keep Sanchez.
Do you think that Sanchez and where he is in his development, do you think it is because of the fact that he plays in New York? I mean, you've heard several things out there that he's hasn't been a stranger to the New York nightlife so far.
No. And when he came into the league, he was so many people who watched the draft and watched the combine, he was their favorite pick to blow the league away because he had so much raw talent. And, you know, he became we've seen it, right? What with the photo shoots and the, you know, the whole celebrity aspect, the whole thing that he carries. I mean, if you're good enough, like a Tom Brady figure, you can carry that. But he's not there yet. He needed 3 or 4 years of solid football and dedication, and he didn't put it in.
But you talk about Brady and the same type of thing. You have to remember that the structure in New York and the structure in New England are two completely different things, because Rex Ryan, not only does he put up with all the goofiness and everything, he causes it.
But he's the guy running the ship.
And the difference is with a guy like Brady is that Bill Belichick is the guy running the ship. If you put Sanchez with Belichick, I think he would be a lot more likely to be successful, because there would be no BS tolerated with Belichick.
And we might see that happen. It could be a very real.
So do you guys think that the Tim Tebow signing is going to turn into anything more than a sideshow? Is there ever a point where he is going to be used effectively, be it wildcat situations, be it third downs? Is there any way that this symbiosis between the two quarterbacks can work in their favor?
Absolutely.
They're both young guys.
Absolutely not, because as I said coming in, you're stunting both of their growths. The only way Tebow had a chance to succeed was to get more reps, and he's not going to get them, because I have never seen a guy draw this much attention at the quarterback position where the primary aspect is throwing or passing, and he can't pass.
And that's with Tim Tebow. We don't know what he's going to be yet.
No,
we don't know.
But we're not going to find out as long as he's a backup.
No,
we're not going to. That's why this works for nobody. This is the worst place that Tebow could have landed. And for Sanchez, it's the worst backup he could have.
So then, if you both agree that the New York Jets aren't going to make the playoffs, I think it is an assumption before we get to the Patriots that they're going to win the division. Who gets second in the division, Buffalo or Miami?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Because Fitzpatrick has more proof in the pudding than Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill's a rookie. You never trust a rookie quarterback.
Do you think that this is the year they haven't made the playoffs since, what, 1998 or 99?
99. Music City Miracle.
Yeah.
Do you guys see the Bills breaking that playoff drought?
I think there's too many other good teams in the AFC. I think they can finish second in that division, but I don't think they can grab one of the two wild card spots.
Especially with the steps forward taken by teams like Cincinnati last year with Andy Dalton.
Cincinnati is going to be in contention.
Pittsburgh's like, always
three,
in contention.
Like, you're going to have three teams out of the AFC North that are going to be fighting for playoff spots, and they all have better rosters than the Buffalo Bills do.
So another year of heartbreak for Buffalo Bill fans.
And it will be close. I think it'll be very, very close, and it will be the classic Buffalo Bills down to the last game, and they'll lose it by a field goal. And those poor, poor fans.
Remember, though, too, injuries always play a factor, and Buffalo had a lot of injuries last year. If they stay healthy and somebody else goes through the epidemic that they went through last year, you know, you never know. And interesting to see what Fitzpatrick's going to do at handling both the success and the adversity he had last year.
Bills in Toronto series this year.
Yes.
Is against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, that's going to... Well, they dropped tickets, did they not? They dropped ticket prices?
Yeah, across the board.
Yeah, because they couldn't. They just weren't selling. Yeah, they just weren't selling.
Excuse me.
$50 or something like that.
Yeah, every ticket price is down across the board. And is this going to be the worst? I mean, there are two Seahawks fans here on the show.
One of which is not me.
No.
So that's pretty impressive. I feel like in any group of three people here in Canada, you're probably not going to find that. Jordan, are you going to go to the Bills series in Toronto?
Yeah, I'll go.
Doesn't matter what the ticket price is.
No, I'll go.
Well,
because the thing is, I mean, to see
geographically,
them play,
you're never going to get an easier chance than that.
And sure, I mean, I've been to Quest Field and all that, and I've seen it, but it's a long trek, you know, and just to have them a two-hour bus away, there's no, I mean, you know, I really can't. I really can't just sit at home, and I'm going to watch it on TV anyway.
Here's the question. If I could segue into this.
Sure.
Is Matt Flynn going to be the starter by the time we roll around to that game? Because he's not starting out of the gate.
No, he's not.
And they paid him a lot of money.
Sure.
And he's not starting.
No.
Shouldn't that concern...
Well, you should...
Should that not concern you and the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I don't think money dictates whether or not you have a starting position. I think that's training camp dictates that. And I think that if
But
you,
that's the point, is that given the price tag that they've taken on him, and if he hasn't had the best of training camps, which obviously he hasn't, otherwise he would be the starter, that's got to be the first red flag, doesn't it?
I don't necessarily think so. I think that if a rookie quarterback shines during preseason, and I think that's Pete Carroll's a very he really, really goes with the enthusiastic side of things, right? He really steps to the way that, you know, the way that, that everyone's flowing, and I think that maybe he thought that his wide receivers were really, really meshing with, yes, a rookie quarterback, so you're going to go with him. And I think that, you know, people, you've said it already, never trust a rookie quarterback. But I think that, you know, sometimes you really have
and
to go with these
guys. Why don't you let the people know out there who is the rookie quarterback that is... Because they're not going with Matt Flynn, they're going with Russell Jackson? Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, who also played baseball, was in the Rockies system at one point, actually.
He's just one of those raw athletes.
Transfer out of Wisconsin. Look, I watched Russell play in college.
Mm-hmm.
Good quarterback, good arm, but rookie. Flynn, you've got... The only reason that this is not as big a story as it is because Flynn is almost as unproven as Russell Wilson is. And that's the one problem. The only problem I have is that they dished out a lot of money to get Flynn, and now he's not starting.
To me personally, I was a fan of the Matt Flynn...
Well, we talked about it here on the program. You were all over.
Mm-hmm. I was a fan of it. I know that you have a very, very small sample size to go off of, and that was with the wide receiving core that Green Bay boasts. But I think that there's a lot of potential in that. I think that if Russell Wilson, in my own honest opinion, I think that Russell Wilson, preseason and regular season, as we all know, goes without saying, are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Russell Wilson will struggle off the hop, not indicative necessarily of how he's going to be over his whole career, but I think that he will struggle out the gate, and I think that it won't be that long before you see Matt Flynn put into the starting quarterback position.
There's more pressure on guys like Wilson now because of what guys like Newton and Flacco have done to the learning curve. We've seen them succeed out of the gate. And all of a sudden, if Wilson doesn't succeed, the expectations are there now that weren't there 10 years ago, 15 years ago
and
for
I think
these young guys.
It is tough, too, because if he comes out, I mean, like I said, they went 4-0 in the preseason. Again, not doesn't say that, you know, that's going to translate into more...
Ask the Toronto Blue Jays.
More immediate success. But I think that if you drop, you know, two or three of the first four games, like in that division, that really hurts. So I really hope that they don't give him the two or three games, say, listen, I don't know what happened, and put Matt Flynn in. Because if you're 1-3, if you're if you're 2-4 coming out of
the division,
you can win that division, you know, you can win that division at 7-9.
Because San Francisco is going to be the front runner.
They will now.
San Francisco is going to win at least 11 games.
But with injury, they won't. And if you can sneak in there, like we've done before, and win a playoff game, like we've done, like they've done before.
San Francisco's going to win 11 games. They're not going to win the division at 7-9 or 8-8.
Well, I think the 49ers will win probably 12, between 11 and 12. Yeah, certainly.
So that division is top heavy because it's San Francisco and everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's the NFC West story.
Every year, there never seems to be more than one team in contention.
Westbound and down.
Just one. But that'll be interesting. And certainly, it's a lot of storylines that have been coming out of Seattle in a while. So
let me ask you guys this question then. I think that we can all agree that San Fran is the team to beat in the NFC West.
Yeah.
Before we go to commercial break here. San Francisco is the team to beat in the NFC West. They went 12-4 last year?
Made the NFC title game.
Yeah, I think so.
So, do you guys think that they are a Super Bowl contender? Not necessarily a favorite, but could they be a wild card team to come out of the NFC?
Absolutely, because they've been there before. And knowing what you have to do to succeed is the one link that can power you over somebody else in the NFL.
And they've added people, Mario Manningham, Randy Moss, Brandon Jacobs, that have also been there. And been there a number of times.
Manningham and Jacobs is huge. Because Manningham is...
Yeah, not to
Super,
say like,
Super Bowl championship experience with both those guys.
Yeah, so that's some serious... And like, those guys aren't at the apex of their career, I understand that.
Well, Jacobs is a good change of pace back.
Exactly.
Because you bring in Jacobs off the bench, he's a bigger guy.
Oh, he's a monster.
And he's backing up Frank Gore.
He's a monster. Yeah.
He's going to take some of the pressure, as you said, as you alluded to, off of Gore.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco...
They've got Vernon Davis.
And anytime Randy Moss is in the field, regardless of his age, you're going to draw that defense there. That's going to be in the game plan of any opposing team.
Well, Randy Moss is going to dictate whether or not he draws the defense.
Well, I think that he will regardless.
Because if he doesn't prove that he can have any explosion at all, they're not going to double cover
him. I don't know about that.
And then afterwards, if they don't... Then suddenly you have single coverage on Randy Moss, and then he burns you.
I'm not sure if he can. I'm not sure if he can.
I don't think that's something.
I wouldn't want to go up against him. I'll tell you that.
I don't think that that's something that you lose that quickly.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that Randy Moss is lost. He's not as fast as he once was,
but he can still get to that ball. We even saw it in T.O. when he was working out with the Seahawks. He can still get to the ball. He can't catch it, but he never could.
Randy Moss was never a great route runner, and with that loss of speed, you need to run routes, and that's the big thing that worries me with a guy like Moss. It's because the only route that Randy ever liked to run was straight over the top.
And Alex Smith is obviously the guy in charge of getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that they have to do with Alex this year is let him throw the ball down. He had something like less than 20 throws last year of 20 yards or more completed. Mm-hmm. He has to throw the ball down the field if they're going to have
any chance. And they need those threats. And now you add Manningham and you add Randy Moss, and suddenly this team is looking pretty good. They're obviously well coached.
Yeah, there's not many holes. There really isn't.
They run a tight ship on defense as well.
They may be the most complete team.
I'd say the pass rush, if there's any hole, I would claim it to be the pass rush. But yeah, defensively, they're among one of the league's best. Certainly, the NFC's best, in my opinion.
They may be the most complete team in the NFC, if not the NFL.
Yeah. And again, we bring it back to health, and you could say that for any team, right? If Alex Smith goes down, they're in a very tough position. But I mean, he didn't last year.
And we talk about their schedule to give people a little bit of an indicator. Their first game is against Green Bay, and then they have Detroit. But in terms of winnable games they have on their schedule, Minnesota's a winnable game, Buffalo, Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis.
Well, any game in their division is a winnable
game. Any game in their division. But on top of that, they face Miami. You're right, looking at this schedule here.
Yeah, there's maybe four games.
Four or five games at most they're going to lose this year.
Because you always give one to the division just because you see so much of the other team, right? So they'll drop either one to Arizona.
And they could start 0-1 against Green Bay.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing about that division, we talked about Russell Wilson being the starter. John Skelton is starting in Arizona, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two high-priced quarterbacks in that division, in Kolb and Flynn, not starting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes. We will take a break, and we will be back with more of our NFL preview show here on the Red Zone. Stay tuned.
There's something about the country. September 15, 2012, in Finch, Ontario. It's your chance to escape with good friends and great music. Barnstorm 13. The gates open at noon, so come early to walk the trails or go for a swim. And don't forget your tent, because as always, camping is free. Barnstorm 13. Come 6 p.m., the barn comes alive with musical guests, Jack Pine and the Fire, Good to Go, The Flaps, Muffler Crunch, No Fly List, Mahogany Frog. Barnstorm 13. And in the chill zone, DJs will be spinning tunes all night. Don't have wheels? CKCU has you covered with bus transportation to and from the event. See barnstorm.ca for details. September 15th, 2012. Tickets are just $20 at the gate. Head down to Finch, Ontario for the end of summer spectacle that is Barnstorm. Sponsored by Laker Beer, Maker a Laker, Day's Drum Shop, and CKCU FM 93.1.
Something is different.
Good or bad?
Anything different is good.
CKCU programming is now available on demand.
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
You can now revisit a previously aired program through the website.
Upload everything. I want to get it all on the internet tonight.
If you missed your favorite program.
What did I do last night?
Or you'd just like to hear it again.
Rock and roll! Rock
and roll! You can link to the audio through the program's playlist at CKCUFM.com.
It says 100% guaranteed.
Each show will be available on demand for 30 days after it originally aired.
Soak it up. It's your last chance.
CKCU, proud to serve you, the listener. Now available on demand.
That's all I have to say about that.
Stay tuned, Boppers. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Red Zone.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is 6:22 in the morning, and this is the Red Zone in our CKCU studios. Alex Leopold, Josh Miller to my left, and Jordan Chevalier to my right. If you're just
crowded in here today,
oh yeah, full booth, full booth.
If you're just joining us, we are doing an NFL preview show for everything. Our your one-stop shop, pretty much for anything you need to know on this upcoming NFL season. And I have a sneaking suspicion, everyone, that the NFL is going to be the sport and league of choice once the NHL locks out in about a week's time.
Yeah. I guess it's a week now. It's coming
a week's time.
The dagger will fall, and it'll be we'll have a lot of focus, just NFL.
A lot of NFL stuff to talk about. Yeah. So we'll get you ready for it now. Because, as we all know, bucking against that trend isn't necessarily going to get you anywhere now.
No.
You can't stop the NFL train.
No.
No.
Which is why we're hopping
and
right on.
We'll get on the trade and we'll go to the NFC East.
Which kicked off the NFL season on Wednesday
sure
in a divisional clash between Dallas and New York. I think I, like probably most people, were a little bit surprised.
Yeah,
not necessarily that Dallas won, because we know that they've always been that lovable loser type of team in the last...
Yeah,
4 to 6 years, we'll say. The Dallas Cowboys have
been lovable. I'd say the last 15 years, they haven't won a playoff game since 95.
Right, but they didn't gain that stigma right away after their last Super Bowl. Dallas still had a penchant for being there and for being a big-name team and a big-market team.
Well, because for a couple of those years, they still had Emmitt.
They still had Troy Aikman.
But, look, I wasn't necessarily surprised that Dallas won the game on Wednesday because September is a time when Dallas likes to get quite a few wins in the holster in September, October.
And then really take a few
games
But
they can't win. Like, Tony Romo hasn't proven that he can win pressure games.
And that's what everyone says. And not only can he not win them, he seems to single-handedly sometimes lose them on his own. You know, not only is he not, you know, standing up and getting the win, he's the reason for the loss more often than not when it comes to a pressure situation.
because Tony has been starting what, 6 years now?
Yeah. And that's a that's a long, you know, like,
and he's, in terms of NFL quarterbacks,
yeah, that's like, that's a decent amount of time.
The biggest problem with Romo is he hasn't learned what throw, because as an NFL quarterback, a lot of the time the people forget that the most important thing are not always the throws you make, it's the throws you don't make. And Tony makes a lot of throws that you shouldn't make.
Brett Favre syndrome.
Yes. Yes. I think from the game on Wednesday, though, to go back to actual fundamentals of what we saw, the defense looked good to me. I think, you know, I think they get, like, the Giants got that last late one there, but the defense was closing very quickly. So if you're, you know, someone, you know, to support the Dallas Cowboys, that's a positive, because I didn't see a whole lot of that defense last year, but they were closing quite quickly.
And what do you guys make of this?
They looked quick. They looked quite quick.
What do you guys make of this this Ogletree?
Well, look,
because I don't know if there was a faster guy whose fantasy draft stock rose so quickly.
Fourth year in the NFL. I mean, look, right now Ogletree flavor of the week, right? You get a couple of guys like that every year.
But that's what I'm asking you: is there potential beyond this one game?
I think he's going to certainly be written.
Ogletree will be as good as the receivers around him. Because if the receivers around him are good, they're getting the coverage, and he's going to be open. And if he gets the opportunities, he has to capitalize them. But I don't see yet the ability to truly break away and make plays on an island for him. He's been in the NFL 4 years. He's had a slow learning curve. And even when he was at Virginia, he was only good when the receivers around him were making plays. He's not going to be a guy, if Miles Austin and Jason Witten are struggling in a game, he's not going to be the guy
to break through
and win the game for them.
No, I'll agree with that.
So, in terms of their schedule, this is what the Dallas Cowboys have. They've got Chicago, Tampa Bay, and I broke this down into tough teams and easier teams to beat
Cupcakes.
In their schedule.
Right.
Tough teams, Chicago, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Giants, Atlanta, Philadelphia twice, Pittsburgh, New Orleans.
Anybody in their division is tough. Let's just say that.
Easier teams, Carolina, Cleveland, Washington twice, and Cincinnati I put in there, but we know that Cincinnati could just as easily win the game.
And you might want to throw Carolina into that category too, because
they could win the game.
Newton's explosiveness can come back and bite you any week.
So, okay, so we elevate the status of both Cincinnati and Carolina, and that leaves you with two games.
Those are trap games.
And you have two games against Washington and a game against the Cleveland Browns as the potentially only games
that are winnable,
that are easier, or cupcake games, as Josh will say, on the Dallas Cowboys schedule. So where does that put them? In a division with the Giants, the Eagles, and the Redskins, do they make the playoffs?
No.
Do they have a chance? What do you give the record?
I think this is going to be a division where everybody beats up on each other. I don't think... I could see where the division gets won at 9-7, 10-6. Because the Giants typically have Super Bowl hangover. We saw this the last time they won it. They struggle after winning a Super Bowl. You know that Philadelphia is going to be better because they're going to have the continuity.
Which we will get to next.
They're going to have the continuity that they didn't have last year with all their pieces. You know that Dallas is going to be in the mix. The X factor to me is Washington with Robert Griffin III.
At least you didn't call him RG3.
Yeah, I noted last night to Alex that we should try and stay away. I think that Dallas is... I mean, they have the talent. DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant.
What do you guys give record-wise?
For Dallas?
For Dallas.
9-7.
I'm going to go 8-8. Also, just a little note here that I have. Morris Claiborne, young cornerback at LSU. He might surprise for them on the defense. Watch a lot of his tape from LSU. He's very, very quick, very, very fast back there. He was their first-round pick. I think it was, would have been eighth overall?
Yep.
Eighth overall, sixth overall. Watch him. Just maybe a couple Dallas fans listening that might not know He may impress this year. He may be big for them back there. So.
What one thing that worries me about Claiborne again, again like you watching the tape, he could be a little too quick, and by that I mean
he can
over pursue, doesn't let the play develop, might come back to bite him.
We just mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles are the dream team, as they dubbed themselves last year, which is the dumbest thing you can ever do in sports.
That will carry over? Like, do you guys think that even because the media, the NFL doesn't drop anything, right? They literally refuse.
They will carry storylines from 8 years ago
because every game has to have the blockbuster tagline. Do you think that the media will still hang on to this Vince Young
dream team?
Because he's not even there anymore. He's gone.
Two things that worry me about Philadelphia. One is, you almost knew they weren't going to have great success last year because they brought in so many pieces.
And this year they didn't. They brought in no one.
But that's the thing, is that now you could have all the pieces you want. Now they're going to know, or they should know, how to use those pieces. What still concerns me is that puzzling move on the defensive side of the football. Their defensive coordinator is a guy who, before last year, Juan Castillo, had never done anything on the defensive side of the football in his life. Second year, their defense, nobody talks about that, but their defense has to be better.
But I think that last year, people, with this whole dream team comment, they act like they went like 4-12. Or they went 8-8 last year. That's not disappointing if you deem yourself the dream team.
They finally got it together at the end of the year.
Exactly, and that's what I think you have to. I mean, that is not a terrible, especially in that division. Like, that's not an awful performance. 8-8 in that division.
It was awful for them.
Sure, but
because the expectations were so high.
But they did that to themselves.
So let me ask you guys this question: Michael Vick took a rough tackle in the final preseason game there, the tune-up. Mm-hmm. And he seemed a little worse for wear. He's been deemed, quote, 100%. But we all know by now what that means when you're talking in
NFL, or when you're speaking terms, in, or sports terms.
Or in Michael Vick terms.
Or Michael Vick terms.
And they gave him this contract again, which made him the first player ever to get two $100 million deals in the NFL.
First player ever to one of the first players ever to go to prison on one of the worst charges and get $200 million. I don't want to go into the whole thing about what the morality is with that, but that's another problem too. Second thing is the guy can't stay healthy.
Well, that's what I was just about to ask. They gave him this contract, Josh, after 18 total starts, because they gave it to him after last offseason. 18 total starts, and they committed to Michael Vick financially. This wasn't enough of a sample size to give the guy to say, you know what,
if he didn't want him getting hurt all the time, they should probably put a line in front of him. Because if I was getting sacked 9 times a game, I'd probably have a
break
sore
down
leg
a little
too.
But like, here's the problem. One of the reasons that Vic gets into those problems is he still doesn't know how to stay in the pocket.
Mm. And that's the
okay,
thing.
But what are you going to tell Mike Vick to stay in the pocket? Well, you know what I mean? You paid money for Mike Vick. You want to get Mike Vick.
They're gonna get Mike Vick. They're gonna get Mike Vick carried off on a stretcher. Is what they're gonna get at the end of the year. Look, this guy is not a quarterback. He thinks he's a running back. He's a better thrower than he used to be, but he's not a guy. Look, the only reason they committed $100 million to him, and I hate to say this, is if they didn't do it over the 18 games, somebody else would have done it.
Someone else in their division.
That's the way the NFL works.
So what do you give the record of the supposed dream team?
Well, you guys didn't answer my. Do you think they're still going to go on that this year?
Oh, absolutely. They're still
gonna
There's pump no that? Way okay. they're going to let it go.
Okay.
For my two cents, I think that they committed financially to Michael Vick way too early on not nearly big enough of a sample size. I understand that. That's the nature of the beast. That is the nature of sports. We see that all the time now. But I'm just saying that I don't think that you're going to get the type of versatility out of him you got out of a Donovan McNabb.
And they don't have a backup for him this year either, really. I mean,
I think Jordan's right. I could see them going 9-7 or 10-6 even.
There's no depth.
You know what? I'll give them 10-6 just because, again, you look at last year, they had a lot go
and
wrong.
And
they still
any
went,
injury.
Yeah, and they still went 8-8. I think that I'm going to take a chance on Mike Vick staying healthy, and I'll give them 10-6.
What do you give them?
I think they're going to battle in that division, and they'll make the playoffs.
They should never have gotten rid of Mike Kafka.
Elaborate.
I honestly think Kafka would have given him a better chance to win than Vic. If you would have worked with him, he would have been a better thrower. He could stay healthy. Mike's not going to play 16 games. So if they go 8-8, I'd be very impressed.
That's the same record as last year.
If we stay within the
because they may be the most overrated team in the NFL.
Jumping ship to the New York Giants, who started off the season 0-1, and there was a stat to throw at people. It was the first time a Super Bowl champ had lost their first game of the following season in 13 years. Which really? It means nothing,
but it's
just kind of a neat little stat.
Sure, sure.
But they started the year 0-1. They are obviously the defending Super Bowl champions, so you always have
a bullseye
on your back immediately. Mm-hmm. So they start the year 0-1.
And you've come in and you've played more, you and another, you've played, you're among one of the teams that have played the most games. Right,
like over the past several years,
you've played, you know, a lot of football. That Giants team has played a lot of football,
it's hard
and
to
a
do.
Lot of hard football. Absolutely, it is, and that's why it is so hard to.
And they lost guys like Mario Manningham,
absolutely.
And Victor Cruz
Brandon Jacobs, and they added what, Sean Locklear, right? I mean,
they're not better than they were last year.
No, they certainly aren't, and it is so hard to repeat in the NFL. I mean, right? Just look at the history of it. It's so hard to repeat in the NFL as a champion.
And as Super Bowl champs, you're not given any favors when it comes
to...
No,
certainly not.
You look
and people have more tape on you than anybody else.
Check out these last six games. Taking Washington out of account. You've got Green Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, Baltimore, and Philadelphia.
You could lose each and every one of those.
You could go 1-5. You could go 2-4.
Yeah.
You could go 0-6.
And that's when you need to go 6-6. Those last six games, that's the important stuff.
We talked about Dallas and Philly earlier. I think those two teams have increased chances of winning because they may be a little better and the Giants are a little worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I don't think you're going to see anybody dominate the NFC East this year.
The Redskins did what the Giants did. And so the Redskins, I think they really added a lot. They really bolstered that lineup. The Giants did the opposite.
But the Redskins, regardless of bolstering the lineup, are not going to be in the mix for the division.
Not this year, no. What do you guys give the Giants record-wise?
I think that the Dallas will go 9-7. I can't give the Giants any better than that.
I'll keep the same. I'll say 9-7.
So who wins the division though? Between Dallas and New York, Jordan is given the potential of Philadelphia winning the division.
I think Philly will win it.
I like the Cowboys.
Okay. There's no way.
I think that they'll come through and.
The Cowboys will come through. You can quote. That's a quotable sentence.
They'll be helped by the fact that everybody in the division is not like I said. There's no runaway, so they're only gonna have to win 9 or 10 games to get that division.
Philly's coming in with something to prove. I think they'll take it.
NFC North.
Yeah.
Starting Green Bay.
Well, you have to start in Green Bay. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers.
They got a few guys.
They may still have the best receiving core in the NFL, just because they still have the best quarterback. Rodgers can find anybody, whether they're open or not.
But they had a disappointing end to last season. They had the best record in the league.
And they didn't do much with it.
Well, I mean, they lost. There's no shame in losing to, you know. They, as we said, it's so tough to be the Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely. But they should have. I mean, with the squad they had, I mean, come on. Like, that should be, you got to be winning playoff games. I mean, you don't have to repeat a Super Bowl champ, but you got to be winning playoff games. Because you've got one of those teams where seemingly there is no hole.
We see it time and again where coming down the stretch in any sport, the coach will say, you know what, I'm going to sit out some of my regulars. We are far and away. Mm-hmm. We saw Matt Flynn's audition.
Yeah.
He threw for 6 touchdowns, a Green Bay passing record, and that's how he got his job in Seattle. He did that because Mike McCarthy said that I'm going to rest Aaron Rodgers because I don't want him getting hurt for the playoffs. But I'm never a fan of that because you rest your starters and you lose your rhythm. Athletes are... Yeah,
they're creatures of habit.
They're creatures of habit and they get into a rhythm and don't break that. Like, don't take them out of game time situations.
Well, They might have been better off if Aaron had just played a quarter.
Or a half, yeah.
Or a half.
Because the thing is, you have to get him mentally
you can't,
into because the game, and that's
you can't keep him out of sync.
Because they had...
Because in the playoff game, the receivers and him look so out of sync.
The bye actually hurt them.
Yes.
Because they had...
On top of that, he didn't play the last regular season game. Then you don't play because of a bye.
And then you have a week, right?
So he had 3 weeks between game snaps.
Between the week 16 and the you know, the divisional game,
Yeah. And that's too much. That's just...
But given all these excuses passed...
True.
In a division between Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, and obviously Green Bay, where does Green Bay rank in this pile?
Far and ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, you still have to put... I think that Detroit and Chicago will both surprise. I think that up until week 10 or 11, I think that you'll see that be a little bit a three-horse race. Minnesota's going to fall off. And then I think that Green Bay will come through near the end. But that's probably going to be the second best division in the NFC, I think, this year.
I think that Detroit's a far better team than Chicago. That receiving core has been gelling for 2 or 3 years now.
Stafford can stay relatively healthy.
He took a good shot. Yeah, he took a good shot in the preseason and came back pretty good from it.
The kid, he's got
against Oakland.
Yeah, and Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford right now.
Well, they're the duo.
Maybe the best 1-2 punch
in the entire NFL.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago with Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald. You could argue that they were the best. That they were going to find each other. They had chemistry. And Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford, I think, have kind of taken that torch. Or Randy Moss and Tom Brady a couple of years further back.
2007, when they were just throwing the cover off the ball.
So they are the best. We'll say, for the sake of the show, that they are the best 1-2 punch. Are they going to get past Chicago? Are they going to be second in this division?
Absolutely, because look, can any of us even name Chicago's receiving corps? We haven't been able to name Chicago's receiving corps for 10 years.
Yeah, they really don't have the players. They really
so just... Jay Cutler being healthy for the final, because he missed whatever it was last six
with the meniscus tear. Or whatever it was.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a big injury.
So
that's
do you think that he, given a full, potentially 16-game healthy Jay Cutler schedule, that this is going to be different?
Doesn't matter how good Jay is. Jay doesn't have any pieces to help him.
Fair enough. To the NFC South, before we go to our second commercial break here. The NFC South,
That's wide open.
It is another...
Yeah,
it is another heavy division, though.
Tampa
Bay, Carolina is going to take a step forward this year. New Orleans and Atlanta.
Maybe
New Orleans is going to take a major step back just because they don't have any continuity in their lineup.
No, Jonathan Vilma, no head coach.
But I'm not sure that the omission of Jonathan Vilma is that. I mean, is that really? Is that?
I think that Sean Payton is certainly.
Oh yeah, because you saw when Payton broke his leg last year.
Yeah,
which was a gnarly incident.
Like, because Breeze and Peyton are simpatico, and I'm not talking about Bill Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You take one of the two away from that equation, you're not going to have the same Breeze. Breeze, remember, had the debate over the contract in the off season. I don't think he prepared as well as he should have or could have. I think it's going to hurt them. I think Atlanta is really going to be the team to beat in this division.
Atlanta, to me, is, albeit more talented on paper in the last couple of years, they're the New York Jets of the NFC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have been good and have flirted with success for a little while now, but Atlanta has done... Well, New York has had more success in the playoffs than Atlanta, but Atlanta's a team that has taken significant steps back in terms of their growth and their progress.
But is Breeze good enough to with all of this, with all the controversy, with not having your head coach, with losing a guy like Vilma, they're pretty close. Is he
nobody's good enough? Nobody is good enough to get over what they've gone through this year.
So you give Atlanta the division win. Who do you give it to?
New Orleans.
So you're saying New Orleans. And, okay, what do you guys think in terms of
It's just, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a bit of an emotional pick for me, but just the power that that city and that team, like, I still see them coming through.
Regardless, I think that we could both agree that they're going to,
I think,
whoever's number two is going to make the playoffs.
I think so.
I would give Carolina a better chance to make the playoffs than New Orleans.
No. I think that Cam Newton has showed, obviously, last year that he's a very adept quarterback.
Tell me Cam Newton's a better quarterback than Drew Brees. Not buying that.
He's going to have a better season than Drew this year.
Remains to be seen.
I said it, remember.
All right.
Going to have a better season than Drew this year. All right. Too many things going on in New Orleans.
We're going to go to our second commercial break quickly here. When we come back, we will wrap up the AFC. We've got three divisions to go here on the Red Zone. Stay tuned.
Did you know that CKCU FM 93.1 is live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or that CKCU is the largest listener-supported radio station in Ottawa-Carleton? You did? Well, did you know that CKCU has a Facebook page? Visit www.facebook.com/CKCUFM to see the latest photos and also see the status updates. Also, like us on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com/CKCUFM.
CKCU is doing more than keep up with the times.
We're not called the Mighty 93 for nothing.
The face of our community is changing. So is the face of radio. You used to be the listener, a set of ears we really didn't know.
Now you can be more. We've taken CKCUFM.com to a new level. Connect with more than 110 different shows through interactive playlists. It's the latest way to get your message to on-air hosts in real time.
When your favorite show is on, click on the current playlist and share with the host. If your host opens their playlist, it will show in the on-air box.
It's more than shout-outs. It's your opportunity to be co-host. You can also leave your comments after a show, and it's better than a phone call.
It's faster than Twitter, but we like that too. No matter what genre your favorite show is, we're all one radio family.
And you're a part of it. Interactive playlists remain active for a week before the comments close.
Interactive CKCU. One more way to connect with your community station. CKCU 93.1 FM. Online at ckcufm.com.
Back here on the Red Zone, and straight to the AFC North we go, the Black and Blue Division. Hey, we're going to have three teams in that division that are going to be competing for the playoffs, because I think that the wild cards are going to come out of the North and the East. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh and Baltimore are the heavyweights. Cincinnati's down in weight class a little bit.
What was Cincinnati's record last year? Do you guys know what it was? I forget.
9-7, maybe.
Yep.
10-6.
10-6.
10-6.
Okay. And in that division, that's commendable.
Certainly.
I mean,
Andy Dalton proved in one season that he could do what Carson Palmer
couldn't do
with any semblance of consistency. And I mean, maybe Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals take a step back this year, but that team hasn't had a whole lot to cheer about in the last 25 years.
Well, I think Andy Dalton will take a step back. Second year is always the toughest.
It is, as Josh would say, the proof in the pudding year for a lot of guys. You did it once when there was no tape on you. Now that that's gone around, how do you readjust the people that have adjusted to you?
Especially with the defenses in that division, with Baltimore
and
Dick LeBeau's defense.
And four of your games are against Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's never good for anybody.
On the road.
And they're just going to beat you up. And, if Dalton can handle that, good for him, but I don't think so.
Yeah, what a defense. Yeah, I think I want to be a quarterback in that division.
I think that we see in every year, this is going to come down to Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Yeah, and Hines Ward retired last year.
Yes.
Although he wasn't that
effective.
Effective. At the end, but nonetheless,
that's fine.
A major face
and a locker room presence. You can never really, you can't discount that.
So is Baltimore the favorite here? Who do you guys give?
I think Flacco and Baltimore are the favorites just because I think that they have enough pieces, and I think Flacco will do a better job of staying healthy than Ben Roethlisberger, and I think that could be the difference in one game, and one game is enough to win that
division. Especially if it's one game against Pittsburgh, right? I mean, you win that, right? You win if Roethlisberger's out and Baltimore can take
one. Well, Roethlisberger doesn't even have to be out. Roethlisberger just has to be nicked
and not at his best.
And that could be enough to swing one game.
Which will give you the division.
In your favor, which could give you the division.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Let's not forget, though, that these two teams are aging quickly. I mean, you've got...
Their core, their team.
You've got Ray Lewis, who is 37. Which, by NFL standards,
it's
is
ancient.
You may as well be 70.
Yeah.
He's still effective, there's no doubt in that, but how much longer...
Can he start?
Before he loses a step here, a step
there? Well,
he's
already lost it. He's not playing third down.
There you go.
Yeah.
You've got guys like Ray Lewis, you've got guys like Ed Reed, you've got guys that are not as
young
effective
guys.
As they once were. I'm not saying that they're not going to do anything for anybody anymore, but it is a... It's a passing of the torch.
Well, remember last year, everybody was talking about how Pittsburgh's gotten old and slow. They're not going to be faster this year.
No.
And that's why I like Baltimore to come through and win the division.
Do you agree with that?
Yep. Yep.
So Pittsburgh gets second or does Cincinnati?
No, Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh gets it because I think Dalton will struggle.
It's still a Baltimore-Pittsburgh division.
For at least another couple of years.
Yeah, Cincinnati's made strides, but you know what? And we'll see with what either of those teams can do on the pickup. Because the thing, too, is that if one of those teams really don't have a good year and or can trade up enough to get a really, really, really effective draft pick next year, been looking forward to the draft class a little bit for next year. If Pittsburgh or maybe Cincinnati could – like what if Cincinnati somehow goes 4-12? And they manage to pull off a top six pick, that could be huge.
In the AFC South, I think that we can agree that the team to watch is Indianapolis for all the right or wrong reasons. How does Andrew Luck fare in his first year?
Not well. The pieces that Peyton had are gone. There's no there's nobody for him to throw to. I think that line is not going to. He's going to struggle. You talk about 4-12.
New head coach.
You talk about 4-12. I'll be impressed if they go 4-12.
How does he do as an individual?
No, he'll put up numbers, but he's not going to win a lot of games, and he won't put up numbers in the same echelon as the top guys.
Is this Houston's division to lose?
Absolutely. After last year, with all the injuries they've had, they have a camaraderie. They know they can win with anybody in the lineup. They may be a Super Bowl dark horse, I'll say that. So not only do they win the division, they may go all the way.
In the AFC West, we leave perhaps the biggest storyline of the offseason, or not the biggest story of the offseason, to last, and that's Peyton Manning in Denver. This will be, obviously, his first year. They gave him a 5-year contract, which I think we're all a little bit surprised about, remarkable. Given this major surgery that he had.
Because Peyton's, what, 30?
35?
40-year-old QB.
Maybe 36 by now. Yeah. Whatever he is, he's in his mid-30s, and he will have breached 40 by the time this contract is up.
I don't see him playing more than 3 more years.
Well, and that's my question to you guys. First of all, who's the favorite in this division? Second of all, how's Peyton Manning going to do with coming off a major neck surgery?
I think Denver's the favorite just because of the division they're in. They're lucky that they're in the AFC West.
Yeah, if they were in the North, they wouldn't stand a chance.
Because, look, Oakland has no continuity. They go through head coaches like we go through socks. San Diego last year,
they've been perpetual underachievers.
You want to talk about teams that have gotten old and gotten old fast? San Diego. I don't think they have any trouble winning their division. I do think they have trouble competing with the rest of the NFL. Because those receivers, that's a big adjustment for them after not getting the ball last year from Tebow.
Well, really, they only have Demaryius Thomas in terms of a wide receiving core that can... That is a target, and Peyton Manning can make targets out
again,
of people.
Jacob Tammy, who we had in Indianapolis for a while, I believe, You know,
right. Peyton can do what Peyton does on the line, and he can, you know what I mean, he can play call from the line.
But if Peyton...
He can do, and I think that if they buy into that, which they've obviously, everyone on the team, it's Peyton's team. Peyton
but if
Manning comes in, you buy into his system.
If Peyton doesn't do what Peyton does, that's when you have a problem.
Well, and then that remains to be seen, right? I mean, we've seen a little bit of him, you know, in the uniform. We've seen what he can do, and he looked good, right? I think that he looked effective, and he was doing the things... You know, with the line and with his wide receivers that we've seen him do in the past, in terms of play calling and in terms of, you know, the audible shifts and what have you.
They still have an effective running game.
They're very, very lucky they're in the division. I'll agree with that. They're very, very lucky. And that's going to make Peyton Manning seem so, right? If he does well, it's going to make him seem like the hero. Because they're in that division where he can throw over top of a lot of guys.
What I want to
see defense in that division is that's okay. Defense in that division is not strong.
What I want to see is you talk about his running backs. I want to see if his running backs can catch the football. Because Peyton, over the years, that's what he's done. He likes to throw the ball to his running backs out of the backfield.
He's got no Sean Marino and Willis McGahee, who last year were really the reason why. Aside from some late Tebow heroics, the running game kept them in the games that they eventually won.
I know Marino can catch the ball. I don't know what McGahee can do with the football.
So is this Denver's division?
Absolutely.
Jordan? I mean, Oakland, no.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, look, you don't
Kansas
want it.
Kansas City, no.
You don't, given the offseason Denver had and what little I think that they did, you want to say no. And like I said, if they were in the North, the answer would be no. But in the AFC West... It has to be yes. It's one of those, well, you don't want to give it to him, but I guess I will.
Peyton Manning's number 18 jersey was a source of controversy in Colorado this week because a third grader wore his brand new Peyton Manning jersey to school and was promptly suspended. This is because in the Colorado area, the district has banned the numbers 13, 14, 18, and the reverse of 31, 41, and 81 because of their ties to local gangs. So you want to wear a Peyton Manning jersey in school? Don't think so.
I'm sure Peyton represents gangs. I'm sure everybody sees a Peyton Manning jersey and thinks, ooh, gang!
Up here in Canada is a foreign thing to be told something like
Come
that.
Come on!
Yeah.
But that's just a little tidbit I thought I'd throw everybody's way. We've got about 2.5 minutes of showtime left.
There was a kid in Oklahoma who wore a Michigan T-shirt. They sent him home. He's got a standing invite to go watch them at the Big House now.
Well, I thought that this was that type of situation, that somebody was going to, the principal was a fan of Tebow or something, and he sent Peyton Manning home. But nonetheless, we've got, 2 minutes of showtime left. I want to plug the podcast. If you want to check out the show, if you tuned in halfway through and you want to hear it in its entirety or show your friends, CKCU _ the Red Zone on Twitter. Like the fan page on Facebook, CKCU's The Red Zone. The podcast will be up in about an hour's time from now. This was our fourth last show as The Red Zone,
yes.
For anybody that doesn't know. So we have three left. We have a good guest coming on the show next week from Yahoo Sports. We have Mr. Nate Sager coming on the show to get everybody prepped for the Ottawa 67's upcoming season.
Preseason game tonight. In Smith Falls.
So we will... People will have plenty of time. We talked about NFL and how much time people will have for that. People will also have plenty of time to support the Auto 67s in their first year out at Scotiabank. Final thoughts, anybody?
Well, I'm just going to say games of the week. We got some good games coming.
It is week one.
I mean, Packers and 49ers in one of the early games. Denver, Pittsburgh in the Sunday Nighter. I mean, those are the two games that stand out to me. You talk about a tough test for those two teams to start the year in San Francisco and Green Bay. That's going to be a hell of a game to watch. And so we'll be looking for that. Alex, anything else before we go?
Nope. That about wraps it up for our NFL preview show. We want to thank Jordan for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Everybody enjoy your Sunday.
The 5 a.m. wake-up call.
That's
never...
really early for him, isn't it?
That's right. Nobody ever likes to...
He'd still be sleeping right now.
As would most of the world. Bet. Yeah, that's a safe bet.
Safe bet.
Susan Johnston will be coming up next with the Friday Morning Special Blend. That's about all the time we have. We will be back next week back one member down next week. Stay tuned for Susan Johnston and the BBC Morning News coming up next. That's all the time we have. So long, everybody.